Hey, 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 Closet Busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, Closet Busters and Bold Move Makers. You know what time it is. It's time for Life Uncloseted, where we say, screw it. We're going to kick down those doors in life. We're not going to let anything keep us in our closets. And we're going to set ourselves free to live without apologies. And you know what? Sometimes living without apologies may mean that you have to admit, you know what? It is freaking hot. I'm cranky. My hormones are raging. And I'm not even pregnant. So what the hell is going on here? Well, your body's trying to tell you, you know what? You just got to get ready. You just got to get through the daily basic stuff. And on top of that, you feel like, oh my God, I just need a freaking IV of martinis right now in my arm. Well, I can't think of a better way to learn to uncloset yourself, especially if you're a woman. And guys, if you go, okay, I'm not a woman, I'm not going to listen to this. Yes, stay on. You're going to listen to this because you're going to have a woman in your life that's going through this. And some days you may even feel like you're going through male menopause. And I found a gal in my NSA group. I know you've heard me interviewing a lot of people from national speakers, but Kelly Jakes is just, oh my God, this book. I can't wait for her to talk about her new book about menopause and martini. I'll let her tell you all of that. But when I heard what she was doing, I thought this is a perfect story for Life Uncloseted because it's about releasing yourself out of something that, you know what, you really don't have a whole lot of control over. So go make the best of it, move forward, be who you want to be, and get rid of the hormone groan. So without any further ado, this is Kelly. This is her uncloseted story, and I can't wait to share her with everyone. Thanks for being here, Kelly. I'm so excited to have you here with me today.
Thanks, Rick. I love being here with you today.
Oh, this is so cool. And you are like right in the heart of launching this really great book that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about, okay, why menopause? Why martinis? What hit you that these two things? I mean, it makes sense to me because I'm like, yeah, I totally get that. If I was one, I'd be like, oh yeah, screw the menopause. Let's just let me drink martinis.
But right.
What brought all this about?
Well, you know, my book is called Martinis and Menopause, and I brought about because of my own life journey. You know, in my early 40s, my body started behaving in ways that I didn't recognize.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure many of your listeners can relate. You know, when you can go from a bitch in 0 to 60,
right,
you know, you're taking down everyone around you. You are so irritated about the little things in life. Or, you know, sometimes women have this thing called brain fog. Uh-huh. And like, you literally can't remember what you walked in the room to do, or you're at work and for the life of you, you can't remember what you're doing on that computer.
Right.
Like, and it's a real thing. It's a real symptom, and there's mm-hmm. real science behind it all. So my body started behaving and acting in different ways. And so I started researching, right? Mm-hmm. Researching and writing about it. And I'm in the healthcare field myself. So it was just the perfect storm of figuring out what was going on and then realizing, you know, there's over 53 million women in America today,
mm-hmm.
for instance, going through perimenopause on their way to menopause. So,
right.
And the martinis, I mean, come on, you gotta have
exactly.
fun in life because, I mean, some of this shit you don't have any control over, right?
Exactly. That's the thing.
Dropping up and down every day is different. So,
you know, it's so interesting as you brought that up because it's this hormone thing, and it's amazing because even as I've helped people come out of the closet around their sexuality,
yeah,
they're like, I feel like my hormones are raging. I'm like, of course your hormones are raging because you've been in the closet. You haven't been being who you are. Those sexual hormones are going, let me out, let me out, let me be who I'm supposed to be. So of course you have this whole thing going on, and it's so similar. It's just women go through this and it's like, okay, they're raging, and then we get through perimenopause, and then it's a whole nother ball game. And
right.
It's like, why not figure out the way to do it and just be with it?
No kidding. Just be with it. And that's some of my whole message is there is no shame in aging. Why, you know, our culture tells us
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's shameful to be aging. And I say, no, there's no shame in aging. There's no shame in menopause. I mean, we are women stepping into our power is what I look at it, you know, go meno. But when you think about it, you know, our mothers didn't talk about menopause. Our grandmothers certainly didn't talk about menopause. And it was kind of always a shameful subject. I mean, even a girl getting her period is covered in shame in our culture, you know, in general. And it's like, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, you know.
It's a human experience.
I feel really blessed that I actually got to experience that whole daughters going into periods, because both my daughters went through that after my wife and I had already separated many years later, and they both happened to be with me the week that it all started. And I got to experience that firsthand with them and be there with them. And, you know, here's dad going down to the, you know, the pharmacy to get what we need to get, you know, and watching them have a little bit of a freak out, even though they kind of knew this was going to happen. And it's an amazing thing when you let the natural part of life in our bodies and our journeys happen.
Right.
Be in the moment.
Yes. And it's much like your messages of, you have to be honest with the people around you.
Absolutely.
About what's going on with you. And then you can gather support around you rather than hiding. Mm-hmm. Or being embarrassed or being ashamed or not really understanding. I mean, I talk to women all across the country about going through these changes. And what I try to do in my book and in my talks, of course, is that there are scientific reasons. Like you said, your hormones are really going wacky. And when your hormones are all over the place, whether that's the, you know, the female dominant hormones of the estrogens and the progesterones or the male dominant hormones of testosterone, of which all of us have all of those in some levels, you know, really affects your brain chemistry. It really affects what's firing up there in your brain and your, the feel good chemicals, the serotonins, right? The norepinephrines, all that stuff we all need to be able to get out of bed in the morning and look at the day in a positive way. So it is a human experience. It's just that because women, we have, you know, these reproductive organs, you know, that we're born with, and it's going to shut down. And that's what perimenopause is that 2 to 10 years it takes to shut down the reproductive system. So of course it's going to affect us, and why not celebrate it?
Yes. And I think the I actually have a really good girlfriend who, she developed, a product called Sex Butter, and it's actually for women who are premenopausal or going or in menopause, so that it, you know, it exfoliates and all that sort of stuff, all those lovely lady parts. And her and I used to talk about this all the time. And I didn't know whether it was because I was hanging out with all these gals and, you know, having these kind of conversations. But one day I was just like, oh my God, I'm so hot. Oh my God, I feel like I'm just not myself. I can't remember anything. And she goes, welcome to menopause, buddy. And it's interesting because there are moments, and maybe it's because I'm gay, so, you know, let's just throw that out on the table. I got a little more stuff going on here than I know, but I said to my husband not too long ago, I said, there are days I feel like I'm just going through menopause. I'm sweating profusely. I'm just sitting in my chair, and, you know, it's like, and, you know, so it's really interesting when you can start to put your finger on these things and start to go, okay, but what can I do now? How can I be with this? What can I do? So where does the whole martinis thing come into play in this whole
conversation? Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I love martinis. And I love having a lovely drink with myself or my friends. But really, the martini in my book is a metaphor. I use it as a metaphor for hanging out with people who get you, for your hanging out with your tribe, for those women and men around you who are positive influences and who have got your back. Because I think part of the challenge in our society now is, you know, because we're so connected through the internet and everywhere else, it's easy to have people around you who really don't care for you or about you. And so the martini as metaphor, then that opens it up. It doesn't even have to be an alcoholic drink, you know, because there's many people who don't or choose not to drink alcohol, which is perfectly fine. I have a mocktini recipe in every chapter as well that goes with the martini. That's awesome. Yeah, it's hanging out with people who get you and who love you. I mean,
and I love that metaphor. That metaphor of, you know, create the martini of your life is what came to my mind as you were talking. It's like, if you saw every bit of life is just a lovely martini, even if you don't drink. But what is that thing that just lights you up, that makes you feel good? And I agree, hang with the yep. people that are most aligned with you. I mean, we're all not ever going to be 100% in agreement. We're all not, but you know what, man, without your tribe, you cannot survive. That's so true.
It's so true. Right. And I find that women who are particularly going through menopause, they feel very isolated because mm-hmm. they feel bad. They feel like they're alone, that yep. no one feels the way I feel. Yep. And so I say, let's talk about it. Let's bring it out into the light. Let's have our martinis, our time together, and talk about it. So, yeah, I run these events for women called soirees, martini and menopause soirees, and we get together and I'll just pick a theme,
right.
one of the symptoms, and we actually talk about it. And it's so freeing. It's so wonderful.
You know, I'm curious though, Kelly, it seems like you just walked right into the whole coming out journey because you're like, oh, I think I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's going through this. And that's exactly what people who are coming out sexually mm-hmm. feel like. And then as I've taken this concept and the reason Life Uncloseted now exists is it went from, and those that are listening know, it went from the coming out lounge to this bigger platform is because we all think we're the only ones. Well, the moment right. you have the thought, I'm the only one that feels that way, I always say, congratulations, you've now identified your closet. You're not the only one. Mm-hmm. There's 100 other people that are in that same closet thinking they're the only one. So now let's walk out of it. But as you do that, it's kind of scary. And I'm sure there's women that show up to your events and your soirees. They're like, okay, I know I want to be here, but I bet for some of them it's kind of awkward. Kind of weird.
It is. Yes, I think so too. But the beautiful thing is by the end of the event, you know, mm-hmm. I have women lining up to talk to me, right? And to tell me their stories. They want to tell their story. And when they have a listening ear of someone who is supportive, it just is life changing. I think mm-hmm. it's really mm-hmm. life changing. So, but
for you, as you started to develop this, I know there's much more to your overall brand and everything, but what I'm hearing is this really aligns with your personal brand of verbal impact because you're using the words to have impact of let's not hide, let's not keep this shame closeted up. Let's have the talk about menopause. Let's right. make it an everyday conversation.
Right. Yes. I truly believe that education is power. Mm-hmm. And so I love to educate and empower people. Mm-hmm. And I've done that all of my speaking career. It's just now I'm really focused on this topic and this women's.
And I would think, I mean, I know there's probably a lot of people in the medical community that talk about this, but the approach that you're taking, you probably are one of the few that are taking it from the lighthearted, let's kind of just be with this approach. Some of it's going to be very clinical. I know there's a lot of people out there that are probably doing the whole clinical stuff, but it seems to me that you're coming from the much more fun angle, right?
That's my hope. And that's what I am doing. I mean, yes, there are many books written about menopause right. and most of them are from OBGYNs, mm-hmm. you know, primary care physicians. And I come at it as I'm a menopause survivor. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've been through it and I've been through many of these ups and downs and many of these symptoms that I write about in my book and I talk about. And yes, it is a very different approach of anything that I've seen out there. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a need for it.
Oh, there's absolutely. And you know, it's interesting and okay. So I'm going to be in my own little menopausal fog right now because my brain isn't going to bring this forward.
Go there.
But about a year ago, I spoke at a conference and it was all guys and it was a mixture of gay and straight guys. And we were all working on, you know, our stuff. And I was talking about being bold and coming out of your closets to live your truth and everything. And ironically, the guy that spoke after me, he's like, well, Rick kind of queued this up because I'm coming out of my closet to tell you that I'm a lifelong survivor of erectile dysfunction.
Oh, wow.
He was born with erectile dysfunction. So he has struggled with this all through his teen life and everything else. And it was kind of funny because he's like, so while all the rest of the guys were masturbating, I was wondering, well, what does that even look like? What does that feel like? Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't. And I love that he was so forthright and honest. And now, of course, he's created a whole brand around this.
Right, know? Yeah.
And he is another one like you that is saying, okay, there's no shame here. let's talk about this. And then what was powerful was it wasn't just him. And I didn't know this until he got up to speak. He goes, and you know, the thing that I know now as a father is that because of my journey, I'm able to help my son who also inherited the same dysfunction. And his son was there with us. And I didn't even know. I mean, I knew they were father and son, but, and it was so fascinating. So of course, part of his talk was bringing his son into it. And I thought, this is so powerful.
Yes.
That you can have this kind of conversation. It's a weird subject, mm-hmm. but that you can actually feel good enough and solid enough in yourself to have an impact with people. And I think this is the sort of stuff that people like you are going out into the world and saying, let's make this our new norm. Let's make it our norm to talk about this.
Right. Yeah. Well, that is so interesting because like you mentioned earlier about the friend who made the sex butter and this gentleman that you met at the conference and, you know, our sexual selves is so huge to our psyche that I don't think most of us even realize how important it is. And by
importance, it stays kind of up there on the surface.
Yeah. But what do we think about ourselves? Mm-hmm. What do we think about our sexual selves? I think is so important. And it is true. There are, you know, physiological changes that happen to women in their whole, the vagina, labia, the whole vaginal vulva area. And to understand that these are changes that are like physically happening instead of that you are being inadequate or that things are not the way they were before in that arena. And to realize, okay, I get it. There's something happening to my body physically. So what can I do about it? It doesn't make me bad. It doesn't make me a bad sexual partner. It doesn't make me have to give up sex, which many women feel that, unfortunately, as they age. But it's like, well, what can I do about it? And that's the other part of my book. Every chapter has, here's the science of why. So you're not really losing your mind. And here's what you can do about it. Here's some very practical, everyday things that anyone can do to help with whatever the symptom is we're talking about, whether it's sexually, feeling sexually aroused or feeling like you can't remember what you're thinking about or having the hot flashes or waking up in a puddle of sweat all night, you know, whatever it is, I try to offer very, very practical tips of how do you live your best self.
This is interesting that you went to that space of how we see ourselves, because this is part of what shows up in the coming out journey in sexuality too, is because of who I am, gay, lesbian, bi, trans, whatever it may be, I'm now, in the first place a lot of people go is, okay, I'm now not good enough. I'm wounded. There's something wrong. And, you know, as time is, as things have changed and they continue to change, people step into this more. But what I find fascinating is when a client comes to me and says something like this, I say, okay, so let's take away the genitalia. And you don't, that is not a concern of, around this at all. You're not, you know, that's not part of the equation. What now do you start to feel? Because you're still you.
Yeah.
You're still that person. And this is why I love my conversations that I have and when I've gotten the chance to speak with other transgender speakers on a stage, is how that conversation is powerful, because their genitalia becomes the thing that gets oftentimes switched off, you know, on or off. You either add it on or you take it off or whatever. But at the essence of who they are, they're like, and yeah, I'm still who I am. I've always been this person. Just that other stuff was there. And I think this is something that's powerful even in the work that you're doing, because when you realize, okay, this stuff isn't working the way it used to any longer, but I'm still Kelly. I still have all these essences of who I am. I'm still a woman. I may still be a mother, a daughter, a sister, you know, a wife, whatever it is. It's just this one little part of me that isn't any longer what it used to be. And I think if people could learn to move past some of that, and the whole of who you are is still the whole of who you are, that one little piece just isn't any longer there.
Right. And it would be the same for women, for instance, who've had double mastectomies.
Exactly.
Or hysterectomies, you know, where your sexual organs are actually removed too for disease. It's the same type of thing. This, how does it change my sexuality, or why does it change my sexuality? How do I rethink then about myself now?
So I'm curious, and this may be a really strange question. It may not be something you have an answer to. How do you believe coming at this from the angle you're coming at can actually empower a woman and help her be even more in her life? If she can do this and get past this, how does that empower her?
Well, it's a great question, and it's weaved through all throughout my book. What I believe is a woman, you have to be in touch with who you are. And that means spending time alone with yourself. And in today's culture, I find it just astronomical where people, you know, the cell phone's in their hand before they close their eyes at night to go to sleep. And the cell phone is the first thing they're on the second they get up in the morning. And there's no time of sitting still and reflecting and sitting with yourself and getting to know yourself. And I, you know, that's all in many of the tips throughout the book, depending on what the chapter is. It's spending that time, the breathing or the yoga or the walking outside, and you're listening to the sounds that bring you pleasure. You know, what is it about you that you know that will center you and bring you back to yourself? And so that's, to me, hugely empowering to know that. And then, you know, it's funny because on the whole sexual topic, I talk a lot about self-love and masturbation for women, because I talk to all kinds of women who have partners and women who don't, or women who have partners that they don't want to have sex with or aren't having sex. You know, there's all kinds of statistics about that. And so I try to empower women in their own sexuality too. And
you know, this is also interesting because as you're talking, it's so the parallel of the coming out journey. I mean, so many people who shut off their sexuality because of, oh, I'm gay or whatever. And so now the shame is so heavy that, you know, I'm not going to do this, or I won't masturbate because da, da, da. And it's just these things that show up when, you know, you talk about being with yourself and taking the time to know who you are and take walks and do yoga. I felt like I was just listening to myself talk to a client, because it's right. How do you learn? You have to learn to be with yourself. That's always one of my first things that I say, because so many, you know, coming out clients, and here's what's interesting, and I'll even bring this back to like the business world that we both play in too. If you don't learn to be with yourself, and you don't learn to be with your sexuality with yourself, how are you going to be able to be with someone else who is in their sexuality and very strong? Exactly. You're always going to be comparing yourself to them. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to be on the same level as someone else, but for many people who are coming out of the sexuality closets, this is the big stumbling block. They have not learned how to be with themselves, mostly because, at least the clients I work with, mostly because they're in their 40s, 50s, you know, somewhere down the road, and they've been married, they've had kids, or they've been married, haven't had kids, but they've been living the heterosexual lifestyle. But that lifestyle started when they were like 18, 19, 21, 22. So there's been, you know, they come from that era of baby boomers where you just got married, you kind of did this and you moved on, and there's never been the ability to be with themselves. And it is so hard, Kelly, for them to do it because they don't know how.
Yes.
You don't know how to step into that. And I'm hearing from what you're saying, it's pretty dang similar. It's like, how do you learn to be with yourself and say, it's okay to be my woman,
right,
in my womanhood, to want to love myself? It sounds very, very, very similar.
Yeah, that's so interesting to me to hear the similarities with what we're doing. But
well, one of the very first questions I always ask my clients that are coming out, and then now I'm going to bring this to the business world too, is how do you know you're gay? And usually there's this silence. And I'm like, this is interesting because it's probably the first time they've actually had to answer that question. And usually they'll say, well, you know, because I know I'm attracted. I'm like, okay, so I get that piece. So let me ask you the next part of that question is, can you see yourself being with someone of the same sex day in, day out, waking up with them, going to bed with them, having a relationship with them? And that's almost always like very quiet. because they may feel the sexual attraction thing, but they haven't gone to that next space because they can't see it yet.
Right.
And so that's where I know, you know, we are. So now take my whole brand and what I do with Life Uncloseted and Making Bold Moves. I'll get somebody saying, man, you know, I want to step out. I want to get out of my corporate job. I can't do this. And the first question I'll say is, so how do you know you want to be an entrepreneur? It's the same question. It's just a different right. subject. And again, I'll kind of hear the silence. Well, you know, I'd like to have the freedom and everything. And I'm like, okay, so let me ask you this. Can you actually see yourself day in, day out, waking up, doing your own thing, being your own boss, driving your own self, making sure you're creating your own life, doing all the things that comes with it of you have to be your own motivator. There's no, quote, punch the time clock. There's no.
Right.
And again, silence often falls. It's like, I want to paint the picture of you're saying this is what you want to do. Let's get you there. And I think the same thing is happening in the work that you do. It's like, you say you don't want to be hostage to menopause and you want to get past right. the hormone groans. So how do you know you want to do that? How do you really know you want to do that? Because you got to pick up the martini and take a drink to make it happen, so to speak.
Right. You know, and the twin question to that is, what's going to happen if you don't?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, whether it's coming out, whether it's staying in a job you hate, you know, whether it's a woman who doesn't really like how she's feeling, but doesn't really want to do any self-reflection or the work you do to be your own health advocate. So what is the consequence if you don't?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, that question you just brought up, how often do you find that women don't know how to give themselves permission to do the self-reflection?
Oh, it's epidemic in our age group because mm-hmm. of how we were, most of us were raised.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for a woman to put herself first because mm-hmm. women feel like they're being selfish mm-hmm. when really it's just self-care. And that's another huge tenet of my messaging is the self-care. I mean, for example, I'll share, I was raised in a very evangelical Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that entails,
yep.
including how we feel about ourselves and our sexuality.
And our sexuality, yep.
Yes. And, you know, I was early on in a theater troupe with a church group, right? Mm-hmm. And one of our messages was, joy, you want to have joy, which is Jesus first, others next, yourself last.
Mm.
Y stood for yourself last.
Wow.
Right? So here's the culture I grow up, the culture I was preaching, so to speak, in, mm-hmm. as a very young woman. And yet I have realized what a detrimental message
mm-hmm.
we give. Not just women, but everyone. Put yourself last. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You have to put yourself first to love other people.
Exactly. But in our age group,
yes,
that was the prevalent message.
Yes, it was.
And it's almost, I mean, even now, I mean, I'm 54, I'll be 55 this summer. And even now there are times that I'll be like, well, wait, I shouldn't be doing that. No, I'm putting my, and it's like, no, Rick, you're not putting yourself first. You're doing right. what you need to do because in order, when you do that, you're going to be better for
yes,
other people.
That's
now,
right.
I will agree. There are people who put themselves first and they do it really wrong.
Yes.
And they're what we call assholes and bitches.
Yes.
So here we go, you know?
Exactly.
But it is this baby boomer. And I think even down kind of into the Gen Xers, we lived with that. Others first,
yep.
first,
yep.
you know, and if there's a little smidgen of time, a little smidgen of, you know, joy, then you can take care of yourself. And even as I came out of the closet, I was accused many times of, oh, you're just doing this for selfish reasons. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it selfishly to stay alive.
Yes, right.
That's what I'm doing it for.
Well, and so many of just the basic strategies to live your best self
mm-hmm.
through menopause or through whatever you're going through are very basic things. Like, are you planning what you're going to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking the time to think about what I will eat this week and what I will take to work and how I will shop? Mm-hmm. Are you planning, how are you going to get your exercise in?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's just so interesting that you just said that too, because those are some of the basic things that as someone starting to go through the closet door, and, you know,
I've shared this a few times on the show, but I'll bring it up because it's been a while. When I first started going out of the closet door, it was hell. It was living in somebody else's home for a while and everything. I was going through it.
And you lose a lot.
You lose a lot. And I was about to lose my job. And I ate top ramen and drank wine for a year. That's how I... I tell you what, I mean, it, when one of these days I'm going to put the picture up on the show notes just to see, because if you saw the picture of me then versus what I look like now, and yes, I'm heavier than I want to be right now, but people thought I was sick. People thought I was dying.
Yeah.
And it's one of the tenets of when you're going through these things like menopause, when you're going to make a decision to leave a job and go be an entrepreneur, when you're going to come out of the closet to be your sexual self. One of the first questions you need to ask yourself is, how am I going to take care of myself? How am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to stay exercised? How am I going to be balanced? Am I going to do yoga? Am I going to get up and meditate? Am I going to give myself a quiet walk once a day?
Right.
But all those things get thrown out the door if you come from the generations of, well, you got to take care of everybody else first and then take care of yourself.
Right.
You know, in these moments, if you want to be able to even have a relationship with anybody else, you're going to have to take care of yourself first.
Yeah, it's so true. It's the first thing you really have to deal with is loving yourself and taking care of yourself.
And sometimes it's the simplest stuff. You already brought some up. Maybe it is you actually give yourself the space to leave your phone in the living room instead of by your bed. Maybe you say, okay, I'm going to read, you know, a book instead of, oh, I'm going to use my iPad, which, oh, there's Facebook, right? Okay, well, yeah, or whatever, you know, and okay, so I'm really talking about myself right now because I have had to train myself really well to go, okay, my iPad, I will give myself like 5-10 minutes of, okay, one last check of social media, and then it's like, okay, those get shut away, and I'm just only reading my Kindle, my Kindle. Nothing else gets touched.
Yeah, I have a whole chapter on sleep. I call it sleep hygiene, right?
Mm-hmm. It's so important.
It's so important. And getting those electronics away from our face at least 30 minutes before we're trying to sleep is huge. Yep. Yeah, I have funny stories about that. And
that's just awesome. I love how you're incorporating so many cool things. And the book is out and all that good stuff. So I'm so excited. I can't wait till we actually get to meet because I think we're I think we'll be like best girlfriends at the next conference.
Wherever. I love it. Yeah, let's have some martinis.
We'll have some martinis, absolutely. So the book is, say it one more time for everybody.
Martinis and Menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Kelly Jakes, and you can go to martinisandmenopause.com.
Yep, we're going to have that on the show notes. I'm so excited for you. I just cannot wait for people to get their hands on this. And guys, if you're still listening, maybe you want to re-listen to this and go, okay, yeah, I can really relate because actually this is all about me too. There's all these great things we just value bombed you with of you don't have to be a woman. You don't have to have a vagina to be going through some of the stuff we just talked about. And
oh yeah, that's right. I joke that my next book will be Manhattans and Manopause. Because
there you go. Oh, that's a great title.
Too, right? Yeah, I know,
You better go. You better go grab that URL before somebody else. So, well, that's so great, Kelly. So before we go, I mean, you've already just given so much wisdom and shared so much of yourself and really brought it today. But if you could leave any kind of wisdom for anyone listening, you know, and target it to the women if you want, what do you got to do to just really go fully live that life you want and live your life uncloseted?
I think first you have to know yourself and love yourself and be determined to have no more shame. Whatever that thing is that plagues you, that you are shamed about, you have to let that go and stand in the power of who you are.
Yeah. Shame is such a killer. You know, it's, you know, shame and stress kind of go hand in hand to me. You cannot experience shame without experiencing stress. And I agree. You got to love yourself, take care of yourself and move past that shame. So, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome, awesome discussion. I just kind of knew when Kelly and I got connected, I'm like, I think this one is going to be like one of my girlfriends for sure. But thanks so much and for all the wisdom you shared today with my audience.
You're welcome. Thanks, Rick. We'll see you soon.
Yep. All right, there you have it. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, but that's okay. We're going to be back in just a couple of days sharing more stories, tips, tricks, and wisdom for helping you live your life uncloseted.
And you know what? You can share it too. Just take a few moments if you like and if you believe in this podcast and share it with someone you know today. Share it from your phone, go share it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you are. Maybe even give us a rating and review, because you know what? It's all about the planet living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemons, host of the show and the guy who helps you make those big, bold moves. And I hope you never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted. Catch you real soon. Take care, everyone.